We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Memories have been made.
Halliburton. A deep three for the lead! And baby!
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away! Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game!
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake, shoots, and hits!
But this is Indiana.
Flips it down!
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go! Go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
What is going on, Pacer Nation? As we expected, the Indiana Pacers had a great win against the Dallas Mavericks, and they followed up with a crummy loss against a team under 500, making them now 2-9 on the second night of back-to-backs, losing 130-122. Here to talk with me about this game and this kind of, I wouldn't say it was a pathetic effort, but man, just a really disappointing one, Michael J. Fauci. Michael, how's it going?
Let's just say I counted some chickens, and none of them hatched. All right, tonight was everything that I feared. I looked at the standings and I thought, yep, tonight's the night we tie Philly. All right, let's get, you know, let's move up the standings. But we did everything that we said that we should have done, and that's we looked past the Toronto Raptors that now beat us both times in Indiana this year.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I'll say. I don't really know if the Pacers look past the Toronto Raptors in this game. I just think Toronto had more energy. The fact that the Raptors' last game was Friday, they've been sitting around for 2 days, Pacers playing on the second night of a back-to-back. That, to me, played a big factor into it, and the starters played heavy minutes last night in that game, and I think we need to start here first because, obviously, there's some really good stuff we want to touch on from some of these guys, but you got to start off with Tyrese Haliburton. I think that you have to call him out when he's not playing a good game, and 2 of 11 from the field, 32 minutes played, 9.7 assists. Honestly, it was a pretty pathetic performance from Tyrese Haliburton tonight on both sides of the basketball. Wasn't doing anything offensively and was really stuck in the mud defensively. I'm kind of curious, like, with this hamstring injury, would it make more sense to sit him on the second night of a back-to-back if he's, you know, not going to be 100% himself? Because to me, Tyrese did not look like Tyrese Haliburton at all tonight. And, I mean, when you miss two free throws too, like, I mean, it just, he did not seem like he was in a groove, and this team looked better. I hate to say it, but they looked better, especially in the second half when he was not on the floor.
They did, and that's the tough thing to really put those words, you know, out in the open, because it was true. Tyrese just did not have it tonight, and I think it's safe to say that this was his worst game of the season. I think that, you know, barring any game that maybe he did finish or anything like that, but he was 1 of 3 in the first quarter. And then he finished the game 1 of 8 after that. So there was never a time that he really was able to get into a groove. I mean, any way you want to look at it, 1 of 6 from three. Obviously, you mentioned you missed some free throws. 7 assists in 32 minutes. Not like Tyrese Haliburton. I just felt, yeah, defensively, this was, you're able to see there was a time where the second unit, I felt like, had some stuff going. And I felt that when Tyrese came in, and look, you don't want to put the blame on him because overall this team looked sluggish. And yeah, just didn't have it tonight. And yeah, Toronto was a little bit more refreshed. I think the Pacers, you could say maybe they overlooked Toronto, but I also just think they looked visibly tired. And I don't want to make these excuses because what is it? Nobody can play a back-to-back in the NBA. Like, obviously, they're capable of playing two games, but I feel like there was such a high coming off of that Dallas game that it feels that it's hard to keep that up. But when Tyrese can only miss maybe 4 games for the rest of the year, maybe it's 5, it feels like it's just really tough for him to really sit any of them out when he's not, incapable of playing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I get it. You got to play him. He's healthy.
This game,
he's
your number one player. It's killing us. It's killing us.
He has not played at the same level that he was playing before he went down. And there's been spurts of it, but even he has talked about his stamina is not as high. Like, he's just, sucking wind a little bit more. So we'll have to just kind of monitor that. But other than that, I don't want to, like, just put the blame of the loss on him. But even if he just has an average Tyrese game, the Pacers win this one. So that's me is all I'm saying. That's why it's like, it's frustrating because we hear Tyrese tell the media, we got to grow up. We got to be better than this. We got to beat these kind of teams, and then they come out and lay an egg like this. And it's frustrating because no matter how many times you say it, if you can't go out there and do it, then your words just fall on deaf ears. So this team improves, or, falls to 2-9 now on the second night of a back-to-back, like I said, with the opening. That's just pitiful. They were really good at that last year, and you cannot use being tired as an excuse. You just had a long break. I know the Pacers were a little bit more expended here in terms of being busy with All-Star Week, but good grief, come on. Like, move on from that. You're, like, 24 years old. Good grief.
I know. And that's the thing is, like, I don't want to sound like the old man in here, but it's just like, they used to play 4 games in 5 nights back in the day, and I just feel like we can't just be like, well, they had a pitch set up back-to-back, Of course that's a loss. It can't be like that. This is a young team, just like you mentioned, and I don't know. I just felt like the Pacers were never in control. Toronto led after every quarter. At one point, Indiana took the lead in the beginning of the fourth. That was exciting. But it was like right when they took the lead, it almost felt like they had been battling such an uphill battle because they were down double digits, in that third quarter, that it was just they were never able to get any breathing room. And I felt like once Indiana took the lead, that's when Toronto was always able to respond. And there were some real positive things in this game. But, I think it's only fair to start with, Benedict Mathurin, who had himself a game, 34 points, 11 of 15 shooting. I felt that the 9 rebounds, Alex, they've been there. That's 3 straight games above 6 rebounds, 3 straight games at 5 assists. Awesome to see. 2 steals, a lot of good stuff. But I also kind of feel like, unfortunately, if Benedict Mathurin is leading this team in scoring, they're not a better team. It's actually the second time this season he's dropped 34 in a loss. But the Pacers needed someone outside of the Pascal Siakam to step up, and there really wasn't many people to be able to do it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other game he scored 34 is against the Clippers, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, it was.
So, obviously, that game was a wash because the Clippers just dominated. Now, this game, you really need a Mathurin, and his shot-making was so impressive there in the third quarter. And even in the fourth quarter, he had some big shots, and it was just like, okay, feed Mathurin. I felt like the way the third quarter ended, I tweeted about it. Mathurin had just had like 2 or 3 shots in a row, and then McConnell decides, okay, I'm going to ice Mathurin out, put him in the corner, and I'm going to run a pick and roll with Jalen Smith, or pick and pop, excuse me, and then take an even harder fadeaway jumper with Scottie Barnes on him in the corner. Like, that just was a really stupid idea, and I'm not trying to sit here and say, like, McConnell's dumb, but, like, why do you not feed the hot hand? Like, go into the fourth with some momentum. That would make way more sense to me. And, you got to give credit to Mathurin, too, because he didn't come out once in the second half. They couldn't afford to really pull him. He was playing really good defensively. I felt like he got a little bit tired there in the fourth quarter, and you kind of saw his defense take a little bit of a step back just because I think Mathurin off ball is a worse defender than he is on ball, because Agbaji was beating him back door. He was losing Grady Dick and stuff like that. So I just kind of felt like he was getting tired, and rightfully so. Played 39 minutes a game. Like, if you want to say anybody was tired in this game tonight, Mathurin has an excuse because he never came out of the game. But he was impressive. Like, the shot making was so clutch. I thought that the huge block that he had on a chase down play was really good. The steals that he had were really good. The rebounding was very efficient throughout the game. So he played a very solid game. And I felt like when they went back to the starters, they kind of got away from him again.
That's exactly what happened.
You know, to me, it's like you said they didn't need him to score or whatever. If he is a leading scorer, like whatever, like that's not a good sign. Well, I don't think it really matters to the leading scorers, because we've talked about when Turner's a leading scorer, how it's not a good sign. And he led the team last night and scoring for 33. So I'm just saying, like, if Halliburton's going to suck wind like he was doing tonight, and you need someone to get it going, like, the bench was not that good tonight for the Pacers. They were okay. Yeah. They were better when Siakam and Mathurin played with them, and that's two starters. So it wasn't like it was a great game from anybody outside of those two players there. But, I mean, he was just really special tonight, and it's unfortunate that it comes in a loss. That's the big thing.
I know, and that's why, like, now I'm very curious just to see, and whoever's listening to this right now, if you get a chance, I would like to dig up what the Pacers' record is when Mathurin leads the Pacers in scoring. Because I kind of feel like on the nights that he does lead him, it's probably because someone else doesn't really have it going on. So I'd be curious to see what that record is. That's no knock on Mathurin, but I feel that, you know, on a night like tonight where Tyrese just simply did not have it, Turner only puts up 8 shots. I mean, you need, you know, Benedict Mathurin to be aggressive out there. And I think tonight that's what he was. I mean, 3 of his 4 misses came from 3. I mean, he was 5 of 8 from 3. That's impressive for a guy that struggled from 3-point land last year. So I think that's awesome to see. And right now, he is playing some good basketball. He's playing good team basketball. Like I mentioned, just like my eyes are just glued to him as a rebounder the last few games, and it's been there. It really has. So that's awesome to see. And then I think the other person they definitely want to give a shout out to is, you know, Pascal Siakam. He finishes with 27 points, 9 boards, 6 assists on 50% shooting. I felt that he had at least 21 points. I felt that relatively early on in that third quarter, I felt that they I mean, look, he got 22 shots. There's nothing to complain about. But I felt that there was a time in that third quarter where he had been really, really aggressive. And I don't know if it's really taking his foot off the gas or not, or how much more could you really ask? The man dropped 27. But I felt that he had a span of really taking it to the Raptors. Maybe it's just the Pacers overall that kind of cooled off a bit at times.
No, Siakam was, you know, really good there in spurts. And I kind of feel like he had things going early on in the third quarter, then they went away from him again. So, you know, and maybe Toronto adjusted their defense a little bit to kind of keep him from getting going. But, like, the Raptors go on an 8-0 run when the Pacers cut the lead or whatever, or even took the lead, I think, against Toronto early in the third quarter. I think you mentioned that at one point. So, you know, Toronto counters that with an 8-0 run right after the timeout. So it's just like, you know, they have to do a better job of figuring out the way they want to get these guys looks, because Siakam tonight was very impactful. Had some nice looks. Didn't always, you know, get maybe the result that you wanted, but I think he had some nice drives. Maybe shot the ball a little bit too hard, threw it off the glass too hard, whatever. But he's a good player, and I thought the Pacers were trying to maximize what he was doing on the floor. He really wanted to win this game against Toronto, obviously. You can tell he takes it personally. He doesn't want to lose to these guys. So losing this one, it was a bit of a bummer. But, yeah, you knew Toronto was going to come in here and kind of punch first, and I think Mike Weiner mentioned it during the halftime interview with Jeremiah Johnson. Like, look, guys, like, we just gave up 40 points in the paint in the first half. We're giving up a galactic number. They finished the game giving up 78 points in the paint, Focci. And it was like right after he said that and they aired that interview, the very like first 2 or 3 possessions, the Raptors got right to the paint and scored. And it was just, they were just obliterating the Pacers down there. So I honestly, like, as great as Siakam played, it's just a bummer that this is, once again, the result the Pacers ended up getting. Because, you know, if you look on paper, Turner's stats look really good. But you got to look at that plus-minus. He had the worst plus-minus of anybody on the team tonight.
Jakob Poeltl had some moments in this game that were very evident. And specifically more of like the first half. But, you know, Jakob finished with, you know, 15 and 10. Scottie Barnes with a triple-double, 21-12 and 12 assists. It's just Toronto, look, their team has won 3 straight games. I think that they do look very different from, you know, some of the trades that they've made. Their record on the year is not good, but seem to be playing some good basketball right now. I mean, they had 7 players score double figures. I thought that tonight Toronto was in control. and I felt they shot the ball really well. This just looked like a Pacers team that simply did not have it. There's a couple games this year where we could chalk it up to just looking at it. You just felt the difference. And I just felt that Indiana was always kind of backpedaling in this game, never had a firm grasp. And it's a letdown because when they did make things close, when they did take the lead early in the fourth quarter and you had that momentum, I mean, you proceed to give up 40 points, which was by far your worst quarter in this game. So I felt that like there was that part of me, maybe it's just the hopeful Pacer fan in me that was like, all right, we got him right where we want him. You know, here we go, fourth quarter. Doesn't matter what Tyrese did in the first three quarters. He's going to step up. He'll hit some big shots. And it just felt that, you know, yeah, honestly, the guy hitting big shots this game, Grady Dick, started hitting a lot of timely buckets for Toronto, and he ended up having 18 points off the bench. I felt like Grady Dick was a big difference maker in this game. That was not someone that was contributing a lot early on for Toronto.
Yeah, I think Dick was the X factor. I really do. I felt like he was constantly getting open, and I felt like he could have closed the game out for Toronto. I was a little bit surprised I didn't close it out with him because his floor spacing allowed for some opportunities. I think our friend S that was on the show with us a few weeks ago after the game, when the Pacers lost to the Nuggets and it was their first look at Siakam in a home uniform, he was talking about on today's game about how Grady filled the gap perfectly on a fast break, which allowed for Quickly to have a wide open lane to the basket. And it's little things like that that maybe you don't catch while you're watching during a game. But if guys just do what they're supposed to do and fill the gaps right, I mean, it can make a huge difference. So I agree. Grady Dick was so awesome in this game. And I know a lot of people kind of were like, God, I don't want Dick in a Pacers uniform. He's so trash, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, he's not a trash player. He's a role player. But
exactly.
Yeah, he's when he's shooting like that, he can be very, very impactful for a team. And honestly, Toronto kind of needed his offense when they needed it. And I think Agbaji proved, you know, he had some really nice moments too. Both Kansas alumni now, right? So I wouldn't say alumni. They didn't graduate, but that's their alma mater.
Well, yeah, they're far from – yeah, exactly. Agbaji might have graduated. He was a little bit older. Grady Dick, absolutely not. Who knows how many credits that man has. But at the same point, you know, he played well tonight. That was definitely evident. I think for the Pacers, you know, there was, you talk about that bench, you know, not bringing too much to the table. I was surprised to see Jairus Walker get in so early. I thought that was interesting. And then he didn't come back. And then Doug McDermott was someone that exited this game with an injury. Not sure what the extent of that injury is or a timeline or anything of the sort, but, the Pacers bench was very thin tonight.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
No, for sure. I mean, Jalen Smith still trying to figure things out.
A little rust.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he slowly started getting it going, but like still just three. Not a lot of looks.
Nice to see. Yeah.
I think they just honestly, like, maybe it's a little bit of oversight here, but we're kind of seeing how much Nesmith means to this team right now.
Absolutely. There's no way we give up 130 points with Aaron Nesmith in this lineup. I mean, there is just no
maybe.
Chance. I just 130, I'm shaving 5 to 10 points off that, no doubt. And all of a sudden it's a game.
10?
I'm shaving five I mean, to ten. I really am.
Even with Nesmith, we've given up a lot of points. I don't know if I can say that. I just feel
But it's a Toronto Raptors team. Like, this isn't like one of the elite teams in the league. I just felt like
we got beat by the Wizards, bro. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, trust me, I was in the building. It was disgusting. You know, gave up like it might have been like 137 or whatever it was that night. But regardless, I just felt like the Pacers just they didn't have it. I mean, you had in terms of player score above 10. Yeah, the Pacers, I guess they had a couple of them because Nembhard gave you 11 and Turner had 16 and so on. But they needed a little bit of what Aaron Nesmith brings, and that's that hustle, that intensity, some of that defense to be able to get some timely stops. And I just felt like Pacers, just looked, they looked lifeless today. They really did. They had a couple runs here and there, but that was more like Mathurin catching some heat, you know, catching fire a little bit, Siakam going on his run. I felt like other than that, there wasn't too many players tonight that were overly reliable.
No, not at all. I mean, McConnell had some moments here and there, but like I said, it was just very sporadic. Ben Shepherd, like you could tell, he did not have the same impact on the game.
Nah.
And defensively, he kind of struggled. I felt like Toronto was just faster and quicker at everything than the Pacers. It was like
fast break points. They destroyed us. I think it was. I have the stat over in front.
They lead the NBA, I think, in fast break points too.
So they outscored us on the fast break 26-11. So it's like they played the Pacers game just far better than the Pacers could play.
Pacers, I feel like, have kind of changed a little bit in terms of how they play with the Siakam trade. It doesn't seem like they're playing as fast. For whatever reason, like they're still playing at a good pace, don't get me wrong, but it's like it feels like they're playing more of a slower pace. I don't know, but
no, I mean,
regardless,
I mean, regardless,
it doesn't matter. Like, this is a game that the Pacers will regret they lost, but that's gonna just stack up to the other 10 or 15 games that they've probably regretted they've lost. So, we've always seen them bounce back. There's a great opportunity to bounce back against the Pelicans. On Wednesday night, the Pelicans, I believe, play Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pelicans will be on the second night of a back-to-back, so you'll get the advantage, or the Pacers will get the advantage in that game in terms of, like, who's rested, who's not. It's on ESPN, so that should be another reason to be motivated. Tyrese Halliburton just had a terrible game, and so we usually see Tyrese bounce back when he does have bad games. But, like, since Halliburton's returned, we have not yet to see Tyrese Halliburton have one of those breakout quarters like we've seen him do, like, I remember that game against the Hornets when we were just getting obliterated. He had like 25 and a quarter. It was just like, or 26 and a quarter. He was just like on fire. And I think that Indiana could really just use another moment like that. I mean, you got guys that can score the basketball, but sometimes you just need a Tyrese takeover to happen again, because it was happening a lot before the injury. And so since he's come back, I have yet to really see it, but I'm not like overly concerned about this game, you know, about this team after this loss. I'm just frustrated with the loss and the effort that came out from them after talking so much about it.
Exactly. This is not like a, oh my God, you know what? I got no faith in this team. This is more of just a, come on guys. Like, this is when exactly when we start to gain that respect, when people start to see Indiana creeping up on the standings. This is where, unfortunately, we don't push forward. We always kind of take that one step back. And I would have loved to have won this game and then go into that ESPN game against the Pelicans with that momentum and all that, instead of being like, well, you never know which Indiana you're going to get. A little bit up and down. You're going to get the team that beats Dallas, or you're going to get the team that loses to Toronto twice, or Charlotte or Portland. You just simply don't know, because the Pacers are capable of taking it to any team any night, and they're also capable of giving up 130 points to anyone in this league on any given night.
Yeah, I agree, Fauci. I mean, I don't have much else to say with this game. I really don't. I think we can put a bow on it. We can move on. I know fans are probably disappointed, especially after coming off such a high.
Rightfully so. You know,
you call that Dallas win a top five in your book?
I think so.
Yeah.
This year. I want to make that out there. Top five this year, you know?
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. I'm talking about this season, people. Come on now. Yeah. They know what we're talking about. But for me, you know, this loss to me is not one of the top five worst losses. We've had worse losses. And I think Toronto is a little bit better than people give them credit for. Like, you look at the roster they've assembled with the trades they've made and things like
They're better now than they were before.
Yeah, they have good players. It's not that they have bad players, right? So they've got, like, Kelly Olynyk, who's a solid backup player. They've got Ochai Agbaji, who people are kind of hit or miss on in terms of how they feel about him, you know, whatever, but still second-year player that's trying to prove himself. They've got a lot of really good young talent, Emmanuel Quickley, R.J. Barrett, Scotty Barnes, obviously an all-star. So I mean, yeah, they're not easy. Acapulco is a quality big man. So I just think overall, like, you cannot count this team out.
One thing I want to say, how forgettable was Bruce Brown tonight? It felt like, honestly, there was a moment where I was like, oh yeah. It just felt like, you know, he just didn't have that type of impact for Toronto tonight. You know, 16 minutes, 2 points, one board, one assist, just was there. I mean, yeah, played some defense, I guess, but he was -8 for Toronto in a yeah. win. So I just felt that, you know, there wasn't that, oh, you know what, I really miss Bruce Brown. He really took it to the Pacers tonight.
Would we really feel that way, even if he did take it to the Pacers?
I don't think so, but I definitely didn't feel it tonight. I'll tell you
he
that.
He wasn't here long enough to be missed. You know what I mean? Like,
no. But it wasn't like, oh, you know what? This guy really got like a cold dish revenge on the Pacers.
You're
like,
always looking for that, man.
I'm looking for that cold dish. I want it straight out the freezer. At one point, you know, Siakam was just serving tables left and right, cold dishes, and then, you know, kind of went away from him a little bit. So yeah. I wanted him to get that win.
What an award, didn't I?
Didn't get off the bench. That was unfortunate. I was looking every now and then. I was like, come on. You know, I've always had that soft spot for him, and I root for him. But you know what? I just don't know what's going to happen moving forward for him.
Yeah, I mean, and let's be honest. Like, the fact that he can't really get off the bench in Toronto either just kind of says a little bit about, I don't know. I'm not trying to dog on Jordan Moore, but.
I know, but it's like he had a random game for them after the trade. He dropped like 25, and it's like, yeah, it's still not enough for him to really get minutes. It's just like weird. He's one of those players that, like, if he was on the Pistons, I feel like that man is putting up shots, numbers. It's not going to translate to wins, but, like, you know, he would be able to be like, oh, wow, hey, he's a double-digit scorer. I feel like he could do that in this league, but just not on a winning team, or it's not going to translate to wins is what I'd say.
Yeah, or maybe he could be affordable for a team that's really heavy in salary and they need more of a role player kind of guy on a cheaper deal, kind of like Phoenix. I could see him thriving in that Phoenix, type of team.
Phoenix, when all they had was the minimum, I felt like Jordan Nwora has written all over of like, hey, he can get minutes on a team that can only pay the minimum, but like you can actually have a role. And I feel like that would be a great situation for him. If he was available in the offseason, this past offseason, I feel like Phoenix probably would have snatched him up. They were going after pretty much anybody who had contributed, you know, minutes in the NBA that could sign for the minimum.
Yeah, and Jordan Ward did play for the Bucks when they won the championship. So I wouldn't say he played for him, but he's on the roster. So
yeah.
So
he got a ring.
Yeah, he has a ring. That's all that matters. Ring culture, baby. So
exactly.
Anyway, anything else you want to add to the game? I think I'm pretty much finished with my negative stuff.
I want to put this one in the past. I really do. I think that, like, what more does this team need than coming off of a poor performance? Haliburton struggled. And you're going to be on ESPN next. I just feel like they shouldn't need that type of excuse to get up for the game, but they will get up for a nationally televised game against the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm confident.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for them to get, you know, back on their feet. And they got a little mini series here with New Orleans, home and road series with them to kind of close out that. So that'll be tough. But as you guys recall, last episode, I did call out Focci and say, I want to challenge you to a Buffalo Wild Wings sauce draft. So we figured, you know what, with the Pacers losing this game, we got to end it on a high note here a little bit, have some fun to kind of close things out. So we're going to do this, you know, just back and forth like we did the other sauce draft with the Chick-fil-A sauces, and clearly a lot more to pick from here from the Buffalo Wild Wings sauces. So we're going to do that. I'm going to get the first pick this time since Focci got the first pick last time. And, you know, I really don't even know what kind of dipping sauce Focci likes. So this could really just be like, I have my five, he has his five, and it doesn't really impact how we're picking these because it's a larger, you know, category to pick from. So I'm just going to go with my heart here, Focci, and just go from there. I mean, you know, it's my list versus your list, so we'll see what the listener thinks. But this might be a very hot take for my first pick, but I'm going with my favorite, and that's Asian Zing.
Okay, that is a good one. That was going to be on my short list, no doubt about it. I think after you see, you know, hear the sauces that I mentioned, there's usually a little bit of a common theme. But number one on my list, I'm going mango habanero.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah, I know that's a very popular one wherever you go, so I respect it. For my next one, I think I have to go with one that everybody likes. I'm gonna go with Parmesan garlic.
Okay. You know, I'm not a fan. I'm not against it, but I'm not gonna order it. And that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
So all right, now with my next one, this is tough. This is more of like kind of like a standard, but I feel like Buffalo Wild Wings does it really good, and that's honey barbecue wings.
Yeah, they do. I was actually debating that or Parmesan garlic for my
Like,
second pick.
yeah, like honey barbecue, like it sounds pretty simple, but there's something about their sauce in specific that I feel that is just like like it just feels different.
I do usually get that sauce, Focci, when I go out just because I like it. It's very, very classic. Not really a fan of the hot barbecue. I've tried it a few different times
Yeah.
and it doesn't hit the same. I won't lie about that. So I am stalling a little bit just to make sure I can get what I want. I'm all over the place right now because I was hoping you wouldn't take honey barbecue, to be honest with you. Wasn't sure if you were feeling that, especially after you just picked mango habanero, and seems in terms of how high it is on the list of spiciness. But yeah, I guess my next one, I'm going to go with spicy garlic.
Okay. Spicy garlic. Not bad. Not bad. Now, I was hoping this one would last a little bit longer, and it did. I'm going teriyaki sauce.
See, I don't like that one. It's too sweet for me.
That's fine. I'm not a garlic guy, so take that.
Oh, okay. Not a garlic guy.
No.
Okay, well, let's keep it moving here. I'm gonna go with Caribbean jerk.
Ooh, I think that's one that I actually kind of slipped my mind, because when I was doing my list earlier and I was going through that was definitely one that I was really intrigued with. So,
Okay.
okay, so now this gets a little bit tricky now. You know what? I think I might just keep it simple over here, and I'm just going straight up buffalo wings.
Which ones? Mild, hot, or
Mild. I can't go too hot. Honestly, I'm gonna be honest. I'm a sweater. If it's too hot of a wing, I start to physically like drip from my head. So, we got to keep it a little bit on the lighter side.
alrighty. Yeah, man, this is tough. I've got Asian zing, Parmesan garlic, spicy garlic. I feel like mine are pretty good. Oh man. So you went with mild. Medium feels like such a cop out to that, if I were to pick that.
Yeah.
This is getting tough now. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty
I
here.
know, I
I feel like
know.
they've got some newer sauces too that I'm missing out on.
I'm sure they do. Like, I'm looking at some stuff, and it's a lot like, I'm typically not making it down to my like eighth sauce choice. Kind of stick with the old reliable. So,
Yeah.
we'll see what happens in my last pick, but first, you gotta go.
Yeah, I'm gonna just keep it simple here, Fachi. I'm going with the lemon pepper.
Oh, okay. You know what? I could honestly say a little embarrassing. I've never had lemon pepper wings, but it feel like the last couple of years, I feel like that has really risen in popularity. Like a
Lou
lot of
Williams,
people,
man. He got
I
kicked out of the
know. Maybe
bubble for it.
that's what it is. I've heard Rick Ross reference lemon pepper wings in rap songs and other stuff like that. Not that I'm a big Rick Ross guy or any means, but it feels like just it's on the rise. So
All
I
right,
would
well.
say with my last pick, I'm going Nashville hot sauce. I do like a Nashville hot chicken sandwich. I've never had Nashville hot wings, but if I like the chicken sandwich, I think I'm gonna like the wings.
All right, so Nashville Hot is the last pick. All right, any honorable mentions for you here? Or were you
Now,
pulling
honestly,
teeth here just trying to get these?
my big regret is going teriyaki over Caribbean jerk. It just kind of slipped my mind. I think that if that's my one regret in this draft.
Okay, yeah, I'm probably regretting my parm garlic over honey
You
barbecue.
went too early with it. I agree.
I felt like you were a parm garlic guy for some reason.
You misunderstood me. It would have been on the board. I think it would have been there a little bit
I could have
later.
got it at 5, probably.
You would have got it. I wasn't gonna pick it.
Okay.
Honestly, I needed mango habanero. I love the honey barbecue. Those are two wings that I've definitely ordered plenty of times. And then the Caribbean jerk was definitely that's my regret of draft night.
I like that. It's funny. Okay, so just to give a recap here, my top five were Asian zing, Parmesan garlic, spicy garlic, Caribbean jerk, and lemon pepper. And Faja, your top five are what?
Mango habanero, honey barbecue, teriyaki sauce, mild buffalo, and Nashville hot.
All right, everybody, give us your starting five of Buffalo Wild Wing sauces on the comment section below, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you want to do that. Hit us up YouTube if you're watching this on YouTube. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But Fachi, go ahead and tell the people where they can find us at on social media.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at PacersPodSTP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPodSTP. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to youtube.com/Setting the Pace, a Pacers podcast, where you can find all of our video content. And make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and give us a 5-star rating and review wherever you get your podcast. And go get you some Buffalo Wild Wings. You deserve it. There's some kind of special, I think, on Tuesdays. I think it's traditional wings on Tuesdays. I know Thursdays are buy one, get one free, I believe it is, for the BOMA. So, you know, just promoting out here for B-dubs for free. So, not a paid sponsor, but, you know, we're a supporting customer. That's all we got to say. But with that being said, Fachi, if you're hoping the Pacers can bounce back after a crummy loss to the Raptors, then hit me with those three words.
Let's go, Pacers!